Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise tonight. Has he done something for you? Yeah. Well, oh, sometimes I just got to stop and give him some praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ah, because he's been too good to me. What a wonderful atmosphere of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight. You may be seated. It is so good to be back in Athens. And I want to say how much I appreciate and honor your pastor and having the vision to have a meeting of this nature, I think speaks volumes. And of course, the scripture that we just heard is one of the most hopeful passages in all of the New Testament, because we hold this hope dear. And there are actually teachings out there. There is a teaching out there that would not agree with what we just heard. And it's called preterism. It is a false teaching. And it would say that there is no coming, second coming, that there is no catching away, and we call it the rapture. And it's a very sad teaching, in my opinion. I don't know if they're related to the Sadducees or what, but this is our hope. And you know, a lot of prophecy, when you get into it, you have to deal with all of the negative elements that exist. And this is the one thing that keeps me going, what we just heard from Thessalonians, that all of the events that are happening are culminating together to bring us to this one singular point. And what a day it is, and what a day it's going to be. It's good to be back. And we have just been excited about this meeting and looking forward to it. I want to bring a few things to your attention before we dive into our lesson tonight. And you may have noticed in your seat when you arrived that there is an envelope somewhere near you. It has a green horse. Now, how many of you were at the prophecy meeting last year? Some of you may remember that we talked about the four horses of the apocalypse. And so you're looking at a green horse. That we talked about the green horse. But the point of this envelope is multi-purpose. And you'll notice as you open it up, we do not want you to put any money in this envelope, okay? This is not an offering envelope. We would like you to please fill this out. You'll see there's a place for your personal info, for your name and address and all of that kind of thing. There's a place for your email address. It's very important if we could please get that. That way, if we find out when the rapture is going to happen, we can email you. Amen. But there is a place where you can sign up for a personal Bible study. And that will allow the pastoral staff here to be in contact with you if you want a Bible study, if you want to know more about the Word of the Lord, whether it be prophecy or the Word of God in general. Check that, and this will help both the local church here, and it will also help us at End Time Ministries, our staff, to keep in touch with you. There is a place, if you want to partner with us, where you can do that. And there is also a place where you can just subscribe to End Time Magazine. So if you could fill that out and you could leave it on your way out. There's a product table, which I'm getting ready to talk about. You can leave it on the product table, or you can hand it to me, or you can hand it to my good son on the back. Jeremy, wave your hand back there. All right. So you can do that. It would be much appreciated. How many of you subscribed to End Time Magazine? I see a few hands. And it's so good to see Sister Candace Mendoza. She traveled an hour and a half this evening. She helps us. She is on our volunteer editorial staff. and she does a tremendous job helping us with each issue. She combs through it with a fine-tooth comb, helping us to find errors, and we have a whole team of people that help us, because what one person may catch, another person may catch something different, and so we always have to have many eyes to go through in Time Magazine. But it is required if you want to do what Pastor was talking about and go in the second coming, if you want to go in the rapture, if you want to go in the catching away, you must be a subscriber to In Time Magazine if you want to make it. I mean, it's important to be born again, but you must be a subscriber in addition to being born again to our magazine. And, you know, we actually had a sincere lady who thought we were serious. And we said this on the radio, half joking, and she called in, and, oh, she was on fire, upset at us. And we apologized to her and said, well, we're just joking, but we do want everybody on earth to get the world's most read prophecy magazine. There's not a whole lot of prophecy magazines out there. And you can see this one has Obama on the cover talking about Obama's revolution, the prophetic implications of Obama's revolution. Now, the magazines we have on the table, we have three different issues. And the ones that are on the table, they are free for you to take home with you. Normally, we do charge for those, but we're going to let you take those, and you can check it out and subscribe to In Time Magazine. We have several products on the table. Now, the products that I brought with me, I'm going to go through just a few. 666 Satan's Master Plan. I taught this lesson last time I was here, and we have it on DVD. And one person said before service that I went through that pretty fast. And that's the case. It's so much material. To absorb it in one session is nearly impossible. So you can get it on DVD and go through it time and time again. It took me years to grasp all the material, and so that would be a great resource for you. Brother Baxter has written two prophecy novels, China War and the Third Temple and Dark Intentions. This is actually the sequel that I hold in my hand. China War is out there in the foyer. We have it in both paperback and audio CD. I had the privilege of putting this in audio CD so that you can listen to it in your car while you're driving if you so choose. And then Understanding the End Time Levels 1, 2, and 3 on DVD. And these are the hallmark series of End Time Ministries, taking you from 0 to 60 in prophetic understanding. And we also have accompanied them Bible study workbooks. And these are designed not only for our own personal learning, but if you have somebody in your family or a friend or a coworker that you're wanting to win for the Lord, you can take these into your home, into their home. If you have permission on the job, wherever, at lunch break, you can. These DVDs are designed to show to somebody, whether it's one person or a group of people, and they do the teaching for you. All you have to do is pop popcorn, have a few refreshments, and you've got a Bible study right here. And so this is just a nutshell of, this is just a very, a few number of the products that we offer. And we have an entire list of products that we offer, DVDs, books. These are things that are produced by End Time Ministries. Now, the things that I have brought are not for sale. They are simply sample products. What you will see out there is you sample the products on the table. I will not be able to let any of those go. However, we have a whole warehouse full of these products in Dallas, and you will see a stack of these pink product sheets. And while you're at this conference, if you order anything at this conference and fill out, we take credit cards and fill out your information. We keep your credit card information very confidential. You will receive free shipping if you order it at this conference on one of these pink sheets of paper. You will not have to pay shipping. If you were to go to our website, endtime.com, or call our office and order something, you would have to pay shipping. But if you order it here on one of these pink slips, you will not have to pay shipping. So check those things out, and God bless you. Looking forward to tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday as well. I believe the Lord. I've just felt so good in my spirit about this entire meeting and what God is going to do. And tonight, we're going to talk about modern nations in the Bible. This is a very important course because We have to understand prophecy is symbolic. When we're dealing with prophecy, you know, many times people, when they try to understand the prophecies of the Bible, they throw up their hands in frustration and they think, well, maybe it's just not for me to understand. However, God put these things in His Word for a very good reason. And, you know, it is true that prophets of old could not understand some of the things that they were inspired of the Holy Ghost to write. And it wasn't because they were any less spiritual than us, by no means. We tend to think of people who were used by God to author Scripture as super spiritual, and they must have always walked on water, and their clothes never got dirty, and they never got hungry. Obviously, those things are not true. They were human, just as human as you and I. However, God told Daniel, He said, close up the book, seal these things until the time of the end. In other words, Daniel wanted to understand the things that God gave him, but God said, the time is not yet for you. Well, the time is now, my brothers and sisters, for us to understand these things. We are understanding things that prophets of old longed to understand. And it's not because we are any better or more spiritual than the ancient prophets. It is simply because now is the time for these things to be revealed. Hallelujah. And so when we understand that we're dealing with symbols, that opens up a whole world. See, one third of the Bible is prophecy. Praise God. And so I think God put these things in His Word for us to pay attention to. Otherwise, He wouldn't have put them there. Jesus even said regarding the end time things to watch and pray. He was talking about end time events when He made that statement. So, way on in the Old Testament, God showed Daniel modern nations that would exist in the end time. In other words, we're talking about hundreds of years ago, over 2,000 years ago, plus a few hundred, God showed Daniel nations that would be on the earth during the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if we can prove that these nations that God showed Daniel hundreds of years ago are alive and in existence on the earth today, we can know that can be another, we already know, but it can be another indicator to us that we, in fact, are that much closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let's get into our lesson tonight, modern nations in the Bible. In a nutshell, 4000 BC. And oh, by the way, for anyone in the back that may be struggling to see the screen, you're welcome to get up and move forward. We still have a few empty places to sit here up closer. For those of you that may have eye handicaps or whatever, 4000 BC, Adam and Eve were created. 2000 BC, Abraham was born. And then 2000 years later came Jesus Christ. And then, so does that mean about where we are right now, 2000 years later, that you and I are getting that close to the second coming of Jesus Christ? So what we're showing you is that approximately every 2000 years throughout history, there has been a major turning point in the events of mankind. Now, what does the Bible say in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9? Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. As I mentioned to you earlier, Daniel wanted to understand these things, but God said it's for the time of the end. And then the word of the Lord tells us that during the day of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, he had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake, and he said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from the other. So here Daniel is having this vision, and Daniel is seeing four beasts come up out of the sea. Now understand that these beasts symbolize something. We're going to define that for you in just a moment. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I saw till the wings thereof were plucked and was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. I apologize. Some of the text is washed out because of some of the graphics. We need to fix that. And behold, another beast, a second likened to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, and he had on the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. Can I get a little monitor up here? Appreciate it. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces. Oh, yes, thank you. And stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Praise God. And then, so, we've got to ask ourselves these questions. Remember, when we're dealing with prophecy, we're talking about symbolism. So, what do these beasts symbolize? I don't know if I could get a glass of water. Oh, thank you. We're reading my mind. Thank you, my good brother. Didn't even have to say it. So what do these beasts symbolize? Well, we know that a beast in Bible prophecy, the Bible defines it. He said, these great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. So a beast in Bible prophecy represents a nation and the king or president and prime minister that rules over that nation. That's, to me, that's major. When you realize a beast in Bible prophecy is a nation and the king and prime minister over which it rules. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. So beasts in Bible prophecy are kings, presidents, prime ministers, and the nations over which they rule. He said the fourth one is going to be diverse from all the other kingdoms. So there's going to be individual beasts, individual nations. But then the fourth one, he said, is dreadful, and it's different. It's going to devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. So again, a beast in Bible prophecy is a kingdom or nation along with its ruler. Now, then we have to ask ourselves, when will these nations that Daniel, mind you again, way on back in the Old Testament, he saw these nations way before they existed. I mean, think about it. That's a miracle in and of itself. Only God could do that. Can I get an amen, somebody? Only God could show somebody anything that's going to exist. You know, we have the newspaper. If you go get a USA Today or your local newspaper, you're reading about events that have already taken place or columnists and their speculation of how things could turn out. But when we read the prophecies of the Word of God, it's God's newspaper in advance. It's prophecies of events that are going to happen, and they will be, and they will come to pass with perfect accuracy. With God, there's no speculation. Now, we see through a glass darkly. So you and I as human beings don't have all the answers, do we? But God holds all the answers. He knows exactly how everything's going to unfold and come to pass. So when will they exist? He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. He's talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet. He said, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. These both were alive, cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's another wonderful thing about the Word of God. God gives us insight that things we would never otherwise be able to figure out or understand. In other words, we understand that, so I've told you, a beast in Bible prophecy is a nation, prime minister, ruler, king, over which it rules. Well, the Antichrist is going to be a world political global leader who will rule over the end time world government. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. And so the Antichrist is going to be a human political leader, worldwide global leader. And the Bible, the Lord's giving us some insight right here that one day the Antichrist and the false prophet, who's going to be a religious leader, will both be cast into the lake of fire. So there is a judgment coming, and we know and we understand that Almighty God sits on his throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and glory, but yet in his righteousness, mercy rejoices against judgment. But in his righteousness, there is a day coming in which God will settle the score of every battle and of every opposition to his word and to his kingdom. Hallelujah. God gave us a free choice. God gave us the ability to choose and decide whom we will serve. But there's a big picture when you step back. There is a kingdom of righteousness and there is a kingdom of darkness. And God is going to take that kingdom of darkness one day and cast it in the lake of fire. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Praise God. Amen. Glad for the living water, aren't you? All right. So let's dive in here.
This is exciting. And so the rest of the beasts had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, this is telling us that after the second coming of Jesus Christ, we know there's a 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving you the end first. But he is going to be crowned by his saints, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the Jesus administration will be ushered in. I mean, come on, I'm looking forward to the Jesus administration. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. And I'm looking forward. My king is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to that day when he will rule and reign. Now, the nations that exist now in the end time, many of them will continue to exist into the millennium. But he's going to put down all of their human governments, and there will only be one government. There's going to be a world government, but it's not going to be overruled and overseen by Satan. You see, the world government we have now is ruled by Satan and will be embodied by, well, that's what the Antichrist will be, Satan manifest in the flesh. The real Christ is Almighty God manifest in the flesh. The Antichrist will be Satan manifest in the flesh. He will be an attempt of a counterfeit. And so, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day when we will crown Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So these nations will all exist at the time that the Antichrist is killed by Jesus Christ. That means these nations must exist in the end time and when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for his church. So Jesus will return to earth during the lifetime of these nations. Now, he's not coming like he came the first time in the flesh, Jesus, all right? He already did that, and he's not going to do it again. He came 2,000 years ago approximately, and he lived, he ministered, he established his church through the 12 apostles, and he was crucified, and he rose again, and his church grew during the book of Acts. Here his church is alive and thriving today. He is coming in the clouds, as the scripture says. When he returns, we're going to be caught away, as Pastor read about, and so shall we ever be with the Lord as that wonderful story unfolds. But it's going to happen during the lifetime of these modern nations. So let's dive into this. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld until the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, what on earth is all of this? What could we be talking about? Remember, we're dealing with symbolism in Bible prophecy. We know we're in the end time right now. So if these are nations that God showed Daniel that would be in existence in the end time, and we're dealing with symbols, and a beast in Bible prophecy is a nation and its ruler, Daniel saw, one of the beasts that he saw was a lion. So we're dealing with symbols. So is there a nation on earth today whose major symbol is the lion. And of course, most of you have probably figured that out by now, that even going way on back, I'm showing you some old newspaper clippings from years ago, because this isn't something we just dreamed up yesterday and pulled a rabbit out of the hat. These are firm established facts in educational circles and in the media. Everybody knows that Great Britain's official symbol is the lion, after the British lion, the Russian bear, going way on back to 1980. I mean, isn't this amazing that the mainstream press is speaking Bible prophecy and they may not even realize it? Most of them probably don't even recognize the fact that the things that they recognize as the official symbols of major countries, God saw and showed his people way before they were even alive or in existence. Praise God. The Webster's International Dictionary said, for the definition of a lion, a symbol of a country, Great Britain. So this is recognized again in educational circles by Webster's Dictionary, that the official symbol of Great Britain is in fact the lion. Here is a picture at Trafalgar Square in London, England. Again, you go to England and you'll see the lion symbol everywhere, because it is, again, their official symbol. Well, Daniel then looked and he saw another beast, a second like a bear. And he said it raised itself up on one side. It had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, arise, devour much flesh. Is there a nation on earth today whose official symbol is the bear? And throughout history, it has had the reputation of being brutal, thus the coined phrase of devouring much flesh. The answer is, in fact, yes. There is a nation today on earth. And in fact, if you look at Time magazine, going back to 1984, do any of you remember the situation with Russia when they boycotted the Olympics in 1984? Why the Soviets said niet. I mean, this is pretty interesting. And can you imagine, I'm not sure, my brother, what that little box is up there. You can just X that out. We don't need that up there. But can you imagine God stepping into the graphic design room of Time magazine headquarters? You know, the chief editor calls his graphic artist, and Time magazine has over 10,000 employees. It's amazing. It's a huge operation. It's one of the largest periodicals. Everybody knows about Time magazine. Can you imagine the chief editor calling all the graphic artists into the room, says, all right, we've got this huge story this week, and the Russians, as you know, are boycotting the Olympics. So I want you guys to come up with a gripping cover. And I can imagine one of the young graphic artists going back to his desk, and the angel of the Lord slips in, and all of a sudden this young graphic artist says, that's it. I can put it on the cover of the Russian bear biting the rings, the Olympic rings. And the angel of the Lord nods and slips back into his eternal world and goes to carry out another task for the Lord. So I'm just showing you, my imagination inserted, however, that the official symbol of Russia is, in fact, the bear. It's everywhere. And it's like, again, these major media publications often speak prophecy by volumes, and they don't even realize that they are doing it. It's like God is everywhere saying, hey, we're in the end time. Wake up. It's time to get ready for my second coming. And so I thought this was pretty cool. Not sure why we're locked up here. Might have to manually. Okay, there we go. Did I skip a slide? Can you go back, or is that in fact the next one? Okay, looks like it is. All right. So I'm just showing you that world government, we are in a situation now. Here's just a picture of President Bush meeting with Ban Ki-moon at NATO. See, what's happened is, I just showed you the major symbol of Russia is the bear. Russia, I show this to you now because Russia has been at loggerheads for years with NATO. Now, NATO is the European military that is thriving in it's the major military arm of Europe. And what we've got right now between the bear, Russia, and NATO is amazing and incredible tension, because President Bush, because of the threat of Iran, President Bush wanted to put in Poland and the Czech Republic an anti-missile defense system. And what this did, it caused the Russian bear to raise itself up again. In the last year, we have watched Russia come alive. And so NATO has been abuzz over the whole Russia situation. Because, and in fact, President Bush even made a speech before he left office. It was about a year or so before he left office. He directly addressed Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, and he said, this is not a Cold War. He said, Putin, Mr. Putin, the Cold War is over. And what has been happening is Russia has been very up in arms. They have been feeling threatened by this whole missile defense system that our administration has been considering placing in Europe because of the Iran threat. Well, the problem is, one reason why Russia doesn't like it, not just because they feel directly threatened by the United States, but they don't like it because they are strong allies with Iran, you see. And Ezekiel 38 is actually a prophecy of the Battle of Armageddon, which happens at the end of the final 7 years. And it is during the Battle of Armageddon that Russia and Iran lead the world government armies and military directly against Jerusalem, and they will invade Jerusalem. The Bible says all nations will invade Israel and Jerusalem. And so Russia wants to make sure they keep the strong alliance with Iran, and they don't like the fact that we are refusing to allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. And so this whole saga is unfolding. I'll be talking more about that throughout this prophecy conference. The first was like a lion, and he had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. So, again, the official symbol of the lion, or of Great Britain, is the lion, right? Well, then Daniel looked when he was having this vision from God, and he said, out of the back of the lion were growing these eagle's wings. So, that's kind of a funny-looking creature, a lion with eagle's wings. Again, dealing with symbols. It's not because Daniel ate too much pepperoni at Pizza Hut the night before. I was supposed to be funny. Whatever, I'll leave the humor to you, Pastor Grissom. And he said it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, first of all, the key is that he beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. Now, is there a nation on earth whose official symbol is the eagle? Again, Time Magazine showing the eagle and the bear. Well, we all know who the eagle is, right? We're in it right now. The United States of America, our official symbol is the eagle. Now, notice the eagle, the wings of the eagle were growing out of the back of the lion. Well, where did we come from? What is our mother country? Great Britain. The eagle came out of the lion, huh? Is it? I mean, stop and think about it. Folks, this is incredible. In your Bible, in the Word of God, before Great Britain even existed, before the lion even existed, before the eagle, the United States, which is a relatively young nation compared to European nations, before these nations existed, God showed Daniel that these nations would be in existence, and he showed him when they would be in existence at the time of the end. God showed Daniel the Declaration of Independence in the Old Testament. He showed the breaking away of the United States of America from her mother country, Great Britain. I think both God and his word are pretty incredible. And then he said, I beheld until it stood up upon its feet, and a man's heart was given to it. Now we have a second symbol, Uncle Sam. And a man's heart was given to it. We are the most compassionate nation on the face of the earth. Even when our commander-in-chief and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon and the White House and Congress feel like our nation must engage in military action, whether it be in Iraq or Afghanistan or North Korea. Now we're seeing a possible flare-up with North Korea and Kim Jong-il wanting to test a possible ballistic missile that could reach the coast of the United States of America. And I just watched a video clip of one of our top Pentagon officials saying we are ready at a moment's notice to shoot North Korea's missile down should we receive the order from our commander-in-chief, President Obama. And so that's just within the last few days. And so here we have the United States. But even if we have to go in and take care of business somewhere, again, we're the most compassionate nation on the face of the earth. A man's heart was given to it. In other words, we'll go back in a country as we are in Iraq, like we did in the first Gulf War. And now after the second Gulf War, we're doing this again. We're going back in spending billions and billions of dollars to do what? To rebuild that nation. Not all nations would do that. The communists certainly wouldn't do that. If they go in and do, you know, have war, they're not going to go back in and compassionately rebuild that country and take care of its citizens. But a man's heart was given to the eagle. Hallelujah. We are the nation of compassion. And so, you know, they were talking about back in 1980 about the Gulf exploding. And still here today in 2009, we're talking about the Gulf exploding. Here's another publication. Might be kind of hard to see, but it's Uncle Sam and the bear. Going, you know, doing their glasnost. There will be more of this, talking probably about the Cold War in USA Today back on 1988. So look at what Daniel saw again in chapter 7 and verse 6. He said, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. So we've dealt with the lion. We've dealt with the eagle coming out of the lion. We've dealt with the bear, which we know to be Russia. And now he sees this leopard. Now, this is a different dude altogether. He said, it had on the back of it four wings as a fowl, of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, we know that a beast in Bible prophecy is a nation. And the king and president that rules over it, I keep repeating that because I want that to be drilled into our minds. I want us to understand what these things mean. But a beast with multiple heads is a freak. No, really. A beast with multiple heads symbolizes the amount of times that nation rises and falls. So, the first thing we got to figure out is, what is the leopard? Who's the leopard? Is there a major country on the earth whose official symbol is the leopard? Well, in 1870, where there was the Franco-German War, World War I and World War II were all plotted, planned, including the Franco-German War of 1870, all plotted and planned and started by Germany. You heard of the leopard tank? That is the German tank. The official symbol of Germany is, in fact, the leopard. Now, he said dominion was given to it. This is incredible. One of the most powerful political forces and economic forces prior to World War II in all of Europe was, in fact, Germany. Now, today, Germany has once again risen to be one of the wealthiest nations and politically strong nations in all of Europe. Germany is an amazing force. The leopard, Germany. The German malady. Since the time of Charlemagne. Now, who was Charlemagne? Charlemagne was a powerful ruler in Aachen, Germany, in 800 AD. And in 800 AD, Pope Leo III placed the crown on the head of Charlemagne, and he declared him the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, I'll be talking more about that in this conference. But listen to what Newsweek said in 1984. The area that is now Germany has been the pivot of European history. In the past 120 years, the Germans have dominated Europe intellectually, industrially, militarily. Again, Newsweek magazine, a major media publication, it's like they're quoting the word of God and they don't even realize it. The prophet said dominion was given to the leopard. The leopard is Germany. And they're saying for the last 120 years, in the last days, the Germans have dominated Europe. Folks, shouldn't surprise us that the word of God is incredibly accurate. Dominion was given to the leopard. You ever hear the miracle of Dunkirk? This is incredible. What happened was, during World War II, the Germans were grinding the Allied forces to mincemeat. Just absolutely obliterating the Allies. Adolf Hitler came within a few days of becoming the undisputed dictator of all of Europe. But it wasn't time for the rise of the Antichrist yet. Perhaps he was a type of a forerunner. But what's incredibly amazing is Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, when Adolf Hitler was absolutely just totally destroying Europe, Winston Churchill called for a time of international prayer and fasting, and people responded. And the German Nazi forces, as they were just completely destroying and tearing everything up, all of a sudden, during this time of prayer and fasting, Adolf Hitler got the strange feeling in the pit of his stomach that he was falling into a trap and that it was happening too easy. And so, believe it or not, he called all of his generals back home. Now, can you imagine? Let me insert my imagination here just for a moment. Can you imagine Adolf Hitler in his bunker? And in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord slips in while Adolf is sleeping. And he nudges him and says, "Adolf, Adolf." And Adolf sits up in his bunker and rubs his little mustache. And the angel says, "Adolf, you're falling into a trap." And Adolf shrugs himself, shakes off the sleep, and the angel of the Lord slips back into eternity. And Adolf, now this really happened, like I told you, Adolf Hitler called all of his generals back home. They were absolutely furious with him because they were so close, they felt, to total victory over the Allied in the West. And he said, "We're falling into a trap. Put everything on hold." And they said, "No, you don't realize how close we are to victory." He said, "No, we're falling into a trap." It was not a trap. I believe it was a miracle. I believe it was the result of people all around the world calling out to the Lord. Whether they really knew God or not, God answers prayer and God is merciful. And God heard the cries of people around the world. It's officially called the miracle of Dunkirk. And while Adolf Hitler called his generals back, everything came to a halt. The Allied forces were able to get over 300,000 of our soldiers across the English Channel to safety, out of the way of harm. And they were able to go back later and defeat the Nazi regime. That is why, in fact, it is called the miracle of Dunkirk. They were able then to bring down the Nazi regime, defeat Adolf Hitler and the German forces, and World War II finally was able to eventually come to a close, and the rest is history. It is an absolutely amazing story. But remember that the Bible tells us that the leopard had four heads. Remember, the number of heads on a beast in prophecy represents the number of times that beast or nation will rise and fall. And so here again is another clue that tells us that this leopard, in fact, is not only talking about Germany, but talking about the number of times it fits perfectly, the number of times it rises and falls. We have the First Reich, the Second Reich, Hitler's famous Third Reich, and then the Fourth Reich that is now rising. Edwin Hartrich wrote a book called The Fourth and Richest Reich. You see, what happened was, when Hitler's Nazi regime was defeated and torn down, East Germany went to the Soviets, and West went to the Allies. In other words, the communists had control of the East, and they came up with the idea of erecting the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall was put up. The reason why we agreed to do this was because they said, look, the reason why Germany was able to start all of these wars and do all this damage is because she was so popular, so powerful politically and economically. We've got to divide Germany and thus divide her economically and politically. So they put up the Berlin Wall to do exactly that. It was a horrific thing. People did not like it. They German citizens hated it. But it split them down the middle, and it did exactly what they predicted that it would do. It became, in the media, a rusty knife wound in the heart of European civilization. Now, what happened was, one of the heads of the Reich, one of the heads of the leopard, the prophet saw, he said, one of the heads was wounded nigh unto death. He didn't say that it died. He said it was wounded nigh, or the word is near. It's an old English word for near, near to death. It didn't die. It's like it went into a coma, but it came back to life. But the prophet in Revelation, John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos and wrote Revelation, in this vision, it was a vision, it's what he was seeing, and he wrote what he saw, and he said that head that was wounded near to death, he said, I beheld till it was healed. The deadly wound was healed. And that's why Brother Baxter in 1968 began telling people that one day the Berlin Wall would come down. In 1968, well, in 1989, the Berlin Wall did in fact come down. In fact, I believe it was 1987 when President Ronald Reagan, he was addressing in a speech the president of the Soviet Union at the time, the last president of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev. And Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, if you believe in freedom, tear down this wall. And in fact, in 1989, that Berlin Wall did come down. What was it? It was the healing of the deadly wound of the head, the wounded head of the leopard of Germany. So it's an amazing thing how we have witnessed this happen in history, and prophecy has been fulfilled. Here's the book, The Fourth and Richest Reich by Edwin Hartrich. So the leopard is Germany. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Now, the possibility exists that we could be looking at and talking about the Franco-German alliance. In fact, the official symbol of France is the rooster. And this Franco-German alliance, of course, has been in existence for hundreds of years. And this is just a web shot of the embassy of France, again showing their official symbol being the rooster. But this is, now I want to tie all this together, because you can't just get up now and leave and not get this last part. And that is how these beasts come together and form a world government. You see, we've got these individual nations in the last days that exist. They exist. I mean, we've got Russia, we've got Great Britain, we've got the United States, and we've got Germany. Now, there's many other nations, obviously, that are influential and powerful. But God specifically chose to give Daniel these key and pivotal nations in his dream. Well, then he looked and he said, I see a fourth beast. And you say, well, wait a minute, Russia, Great Britain, United States, and Germany. Well, see, the reason why he's calling this the fourth is because the United States came out of our mother country, Great Britain. And what happens is there's a correlation to this passage in Revelation that John saw the same thing Daniel saw. One dreadful beast, and it had the feet of the bear, the body of the leopard, the mouth of the lion. In other words, what Daniel saw is those modern nations that are individual sovereign nations coming together and forming one in the last days. Welcome to world government. At the close of World War II, We had the formation of the United Nations. Mr. Alger Hiss, a communist spy, was the founder, one of the key architects of the United Nations. It's in New York City. If you go there and you visit the United Nations, they will say, "Welcome to the United Nations. You are no longer in the United States. You are on international territory." In New York City, in America. It's made up of 192 nations. Every secretary general, which is the head, like the president of the United Nations, has either come from a socialist country or a communist country. They rule according to the principles of Karl Marx. And this is no longer a paper tiger. In fact, it was after the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1991 when then-president Herbert Walker Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush Sr., W's dad, said, "The New World Order is born." And he fought the first Gulf War not alone, but through the auspices of the United Nations. He said, "This will not be the United States against Saddam Hussein. This will be Saddam Hussein against the world." And it was an amazingly fought war. Wars are horrific and chaotic, but this was probably one of the most streamlined wars. It was over within 5 or 6 months, with maybe a few little straggling loose ends to tie up after that. But that first Gulf War was totally different than the war we're in now. It was totally done. And the Bible says all the world wondered after the beast. What beast? The one world government system. Do you know what's amazing is right here in the United States is the headquarters of the world's most powerful world government system, made up of 192 nations. But it is highly controlled by what Daniel saw and what John saw. And he said, "I saw this dreadful beast rise up out of the sea." Now, he said this beast had 10 horns. What are the 10 horns? Well, he defines them. The 10 horns are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now, we know these 10 horns are a 10-nation union that rise out of Europe, out of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, let me define this for you for just a moment. We've got 2 major world government entities that are in existence right now. I already told you about one, the United Nations here in the United States. The other one is the European Union. Now, keep your eye on the European Union. What is the European Union? It's the alliance of major nations of Europe. Right now, it is made up of 27 of the most powerful nations in all of Europe. Of course, the ones we've mentioned in this lesson are a vital part of it, Germany and Great Britain, but you've got 27 of them. Now, hold on to your hats for just a second, because we know according to Scripture, according to Daniel's prophecies, which all the details I don't have time tonight to go into, it's in those lessons, those DVDs that I told you about that you can obtain. But I'm going to give you in a nutshell, because see, in the book of Daniel, you've got 2 things. You've got this prophecy where he saw these 10 horns coming up out of this world government beast. But then he also had a vision, or he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, I should say. And now, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, it had the head of gold, it had different parts that represented different kingdoms that would exist throughout history. And then it had when he came to the legs, he saw the legs of iron, and that represented the Roman Empire that existed during Jesus' day. The Romans ruled the world, the then known world, when Jesus was on the earth. Well, then he saw the feet, and the feet were iron mingled with clay. Now, the iron is the leftover Roman Empire element, but then the clay represents the religious element. He said the feet was iron mingled with clay. In other words, what Daniel saw was the birthing of the Holy Roman Empire. And what happened, I told you earlier about Charlemagne, the most powerful ruler in Germany in 800 AD, Pope Leo III placed the crown on the head of Charlemagne and declared him the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. It's absolutely amazing how that the Roman Catholic Church became so powerful at that time that kings and presidents and prime ministers would go to the Vatican in Rome, and they would seek the not only the counsel of the Pope, but the Pope would actually appoint kings of nations and decide who was going to be a king of a nation in many cases. And kings and presidents would actually not decide to do certain things until they had the blessing of the Pope. So what I'm showing you is the mixture of politics and religion and the revival of the Holy Roman Empire that is happening today. Now, what happened was, after hundreds of years of the Holy Roman Empire being extremely powerful, they sort of died out for a while and became sort of a paper tiger. But then for the last 100 years or so, the Holy Roman Empire has been on the rise. This would not be happening without the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican in Rome. Now, that's prophetic all in of itself. We know that the Roman Catholic Church was prophesied in Revelation 17 and 18. But the purpose of why I'm mentioning it right now is to show you this ten-horned kingdom that was prophesied in not only in the book of Daniel, but also in the book of Revelation. They're the same events. Same event, same God, showed different prophets the same events. In other words, right now what is happening is the Roman Catholic Church is again pushing in Europe for the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. They're not really calling it that, although President Bush, when he was in office, was talking with Ramon Prodi, leader of Italy, and he was talking to him one day, and Prodi said, "Man, we've got all these nations coming together. We're forming a constitution for all of Europe." And Bush stopped him and said, "Sounds like the Roman Empire, Mr. Prodi. That's because it's the revival of the Holy Roman Empire." Again, different from the Roman Empire that ruled during Jesus' day. This is the holy, or shall we say, unholy Roman Empire that is reviving. What's happening is we're watching Europe come together. They've already formed a common currency. What happened was they looked at the United States many decades ago and they said, "The United States is the most powerful country in the world. We want to do for Europe what the United States has done for North America." So they have been successful, meaning us, because of all these states that could be individual nations, but were under one banner in Washington, D.C. And so we join we're individual states, but we join our populations together, our economies one, we have one language, basically. And here we function this way. And we function on the World Trade Organization. We function this way at the United Nations. And we function this way militarily. And Europe said, "We got to do this." And so they got 27 countries together. They said, "You'll still be individual countries, but let's come up with a common constitution." Now, they first tried this in 2005. They had to have the ratification, however, of every country. France and the Netherlands shot it down. So they got together and they said, "We got to push this through. Let's get this through somehow." So they put a new costume on it and they called it the Lisbon Treaty. Now, the reason why they called it the Lisbon Treaty is because the presidency of the European Union rotates every 6 months. It would be like every 6 months, a different governor in a different state. It's like 1 6-month period, the governor of Texas would be the president of the United States. And then 6 months later, the governor of Florida. And then, you know, and then 6 months after that, you know, Palin from Alaska would be the president, only for 6 months. That's how they do it in Europe. And so they're rotating like this every 6 months. So they were having the European Summit, their annual major meeting, when all the presidents of all of Europe get together once a year. And it happened to be in Lisbon, Portugal, because Portugal held the presidency for this 6 month period of time in the fall of 2007. And so it was in Lisbon, Portugal, that all of the kings and prime ministers and presidents of Europe voted on the constitution for all of Europe. That is why it is called the Lisbon Treaty, because it happened in Lisbon, Portugal, in which it was ratified, and every president in all of the 27 nations of Europe signed on to this constitution and decided, "We're going to push this through." Now, But the kicker was, they said, we got to go back to our countries now and ratify this in our individual parliaments. If I'm not mistaken, 25 out of 27 nations have now ratified the Lisbon Treaty. Now you say, well, okay, big deal. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Once it's ratified, it will allow for the first ever in all of history, number one, for Europe to have a common constitution. They've never had this. Number two, written into their constitution, is that they will elect their first ever president of all of Europe. They have never had that. The Bible prophesies a 10-nation union that will come out of Europe, that which will give birth to the Antichrist. Now, he's got to be alive on the earth today if we're this close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's ruling a country somewhere, most likely in Europe. We don't know who he is. Or he's very involved in European affairs. Now, we cannot tell you who the Antichrist is because we don't know. But we have some possible candidates of people. Everyone wants to know, who's the Antichrist? Where is he gonna come from? Again, we don't know for sure. But there are certain individuals that we are keeping our eye on. Now get this. You've got Mr. Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain. Tony Blair has been handpicked since he left office as the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Tony Blair was handpicked by the United Nations, the European Union, Russia, and the United States to lead the peace effort in Israel. Now, they call it the Quartet, made up of those four entities. And they formed this committee made up of the foreign ministers from each of those entities to make somehow help facilitate a peace treaty in the Middle East. They said, we need a man of peace. We need a man, a point man, who will help us finally get this peace treaty. I'm going to be talking more about that later in this conference. But guess who they picked? Mr. Tony Blair. Now, think about it. Stop and think about it for just a moment. The Bible tells us that this Antichrist will arise out of a revived Holy Roman Empire. Now, there's another man we're keeping an eye on, and that's Mr. Javier Solana. He really is one of the most powerful men in all of Europe. He actually made a statement. This guy travels all around the world to hot spots, meaning places like Darfur, Gaza. He travels the world to try to help make peace in hot spots of military conflict. Mr. Javier Solana is one of the most powerful men in Europe. He is actually he's not only the Undersecretary General of Foreign Affairs for the European Union, he actually made a statement. He said, I not only just speak for Europe, I also speak for Russia, I speak for the United States. This guy is very much under the radar. Not many people know who he is, but he's also the Secretary General over the Western EU. The Western EU is the military arm of the European Union. Guess how many nations it's made up of? 10. Now, does that automatically make Javier Solana the Antichrist? No, but we know he's going to arise out of a 10-nation union somewhere in Europe. So, we keep our eyes on these guys. Could be someone else that we don't even know who he is or never heard, or, you know, it's someone that's kind of in the shadows doing his own little thing. Could surprise us. I'm simply saying, in prophecy, you got to be careful about making absolutes, but at the same time, we got to keep our eyes open, and we can't be afraid to look at these things either. It's exciting, but it's also sobering. I'm not looking forward to certain things that are going to be unfolding in prophecy, such as the mark of the beast and wars and rumors of wars, but I am looking forward to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? Stand to your feet as the musicians come. I appreciate you being so attentive during this first session, during this prophecy meeting. But what's amazing is he said these kings that will arise, he said this beast is going to be diverse from the first. And so again, this 10-nation union is going to rise out of a revived Holy Roman Empire. That thing's ugly, and it's going to be pretty ugly, some of the things that this world government entity does and carries out with. Here's what the scripture says: the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as Thank you. Kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And they are with him. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So there's coming a time of warfare, my friends. There's coming a day when the kingdom of darkness will go directly to battle against the kingdom of righteousness. And I'm so thankful to know that you and I are on the right side, the winning side. Aren't you glad to know that tonight? Would you lift your hands with me right now? Father, I thank you for the word of the living God. I thank you, my Lord, that we have this reassurance, hallelujah, that we have this knowledge in you. Praise God. We have this understanding tonight that joy unspeakable and full of glory comes when we come to the cross and we are filled with your Spirit and our sins are forgiven. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that you are in this place tonight. I just kind of feel a little different atmosphere here tonight. I sense that, you know, we have many guests, many wonderful guests, and I want to say I appreciate you being here. But I think I would be foolish to just dismiss you and say, you know, it was nice to have you here tonight without giving you an opportunity to come in contact with what I believe is that the Lord brought you here, that the same Lord that helped you, drew you. The Bible says no man can come unless the Spirit of the Lord draw them. Huh? We're drawn here tonight into his presence. So I think right now, with these lights dimmed, I think we have the perfect atmosphere for us to perhaps step out from where we are. I just feel in the Holy Ghost. I know. I'm talking to someone here tonight that came to this meeting asking the question. While you were driving, the question was going through your mind. Is there hope for our world? And is there hope for my life? Is it really worth it? And I'm thankful to be able to tell you, yes, it is worth it. It is worth it. It's worth living. But it's worth having a purpose in your life. And God is in this place to give you and show you that purpose. He brought you here. I'm talking to someone. This is your first time here. I don't even know who you are. But he does. And you're going through the most difficult time in your life that you've ever gone through. And everything you've been shown tonight is for a purpose, to help you understand and realize that God has a purpose for your life. That he is not going to leave you out in the desert to die. But the Lord of glory has brought you here to establish in your life purpose and meaning. And that can only come one way. You and I were created by God for relationship. We were created by God to have a relationship with him and relationship with each other. But my relationship with my fellow man can't really be what it needs to be until I first establish a meaningful relationship with my Creator. And that's really what this is all about. Because what the Lord has showed us in his word is he's coming back. He's coming back. But he's coming back for a people that are ready for him. There's one way to get ready. Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And he seemed to have it all together. Very powerful man. But he was empty inside. And he went to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Jesus said, you need to be born again, Nicodemus, of the water and of the Spirit. What do you mean? You're telling me I need to go back and be a kid again, be an infant, go back into my mom's womb? What? This is weird. No, Nicodemus. I'm talking to you figuratively. You need to be born again of my Spirit. You need to come alive in me. You need to drink of my living water. You need to let my everlasting word in your heart. Nicodemus was hungry for God. From the outside, it looked like he had it all together, but something was missing in his life. And I'm talking to someone here tonight. Something has seemed, you've been telling yourself, something's missing. My life. I'm going to go to that prophecy meeting tonight. I'm just going to check it out. This is what it's all about. What's about to happen right now. We're getting ready, this whole church. We're getting ready to make our way down these aisles. And I want you to come as many members of the church, they're here. They're very familiar with finding a place to seek the face of God. I want you to feel welcome if this is your first time here. As the saints of God begin coming right now, I want you to feel welcome to join somebody with you as you begin, come on church, coming down these aisles. Be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And here's what I want you to do. Find a place to kneel or stand. We're in His presence. You see, we serve a God that's real. We serve a God that's alive. And He wants to have relationship. He wants to establish His friendship with you. The Bible says He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And maybe people have let you down. Maybe I'm talking to someone that your spouse has recently turned their back on you. You don't understand what's going on in your life. Maybe it's a son or daughter who's kind of doing their own thing and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've been rejected by your parents. And life seems to be not so great for you. I have good news. Jesus Christ will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Sir, ma'am, what I'm trying to say is put your trust in the Lord. You say, you don't understand. I can't walk down that aisle. You don't know what I've done. You know what? It doesn't matter. Jesus forgives the chiefest of sinners. The truth is, you or I cannot come to Him unless we are sinners. He receives sinners, and He receives sinners only. Huh? I don't care. I don't care if you just got out of prison. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your list of sins are a mile long. In one moment of time, you come down this aisle and say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm giving my life to you. I want to tell you, in that moment of time, just the quicker than I can snap my finger, your sins are forgiven and they're gone. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful feeling to know that you've been forgiven. All you have to do is ask Him. There's many up here praying and seeking Him. Come on. Come on. Why don't we empty our seats? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, we love you tonight.